from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lean Local. And as you know, and maybe the new listeners, as you don't know, this show is properly titled, and we do what we say. We lean local. And what we do here is, and we have a great appreciation for what's going on in at the federal level, right? And we're concerned about Israel and Palestine. We're concerned about what's going on. You know, even with the presidential debates coming up, we are concerned about what's going on at the state level. But what this show does is we lean local. We talk about what's going on here locally in the greater Green Bay community. The other reason it's called Lean Local is that this show doesn't lean left or lean right. You know, we're nonpartisan. And I just want to thank Civic Media again for giving us the opportunity to really get into the community, the greater Green Bay community, and just talk about issues that are important to us. And, you know, tomorrow is obviously, you know, is Memorial Day. And I was thinking last night when I was getting ready for this, Green Bay does a lot of stuff right. I mean, we really do. You look at, you know, we're what, one of the top 20 cities to live in the United States. I was thinking back to the Memorial Days when I was mayor, and I would go give talks to at these cemeteries, these events, and there's a lot of good things that we do, and I think Green Bay does it right. And we have our challenges, there's no question about it. Like, if you look at last week's program, we had two homeless people on, and they really shared what Green Bay is doing, and if you listen to it, we are doing a lot of things right, especially at New Community Shelter. But when you look at the rest of the city and how we're doing, there are two organizations in Green Bay, and you've heard of them, but I brought in their executive directors because I want to talk more about this. You know, we talked about the homeless, and the New Community Shelter has about 118 residents, and they're single people, right? They're adults. They're over 18 years old. And you think, well, there's a lot more than adults in this world, 18-year-old. What about families? What about women with small children? I mean, what happens to them? And the answer's here in Green Bay and doing very, very well. So I've invited two guests, the director of the Freedom House. Do you go by Freedom House Ministries or Freedom House?
Freedom House Ministries.
Okay. Freedom House Ministries, which you see their new building when you like go to the Widener, or when you go on the far east side of Green Bay. And then on Christiana Street, is it Christiana Street or Avenue?
Street.
Okay, good. I'm not a detailed guy. Christiana Street is the House of Hope, and their executive directors are with us. So why don't you introduce yourself, your title, and just how long you've been with that organization? Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Shannon Wienant. I've been with House of Hope Green Bay for about 11 years now, and absolutely love it there. It's an amazing organization serving young people, more focused on youth who are experiencing homelessness and young families with children.
All right. We're going to get into that a little bit more because that is, you read about that, and I'm glad Green Bay is doing something. And
Hi, I'm Jennifer Schmo. I'm the executive director of Freedom House Ministries, and I have been walking behind Shannon in this community for a long time and finally get to be in the executive director's seat for about 2.5 years. Love being at Freedom House, love getting the opportunity to serve families. We serve families as they present to us. So if that's a single mom, single dad, might be grandma or grandpa with custody of their child, we'll welcome them in and they can stay with us.
Yeah. So doesn't that, Kyle, doesn't that give you comfort knowing that we have that here in Green Bay? I think people know there's a shelters and you hear about that, but you don't get enough media or credit. You know, I mean, those of us who were in politics for 20 years, we understand the city. It's not the politicians that make it work. It's the nonprofits and the businesses, quite honestly, that make it work. Our job is to kind of try to coordinate you two. But
I'd agree. I've always looked at nonprofits as the engine behind the workforce.
Right.
We are taking care of the workforce.
Yeah. And you're doing things that on their best day, the government couldn't do.
Probably. That's my best
feelings. I'm out. So, Shannon, 11 years is a long time. And tell me a little bit more about your clientele.
Sure. The people who we serve at House of Hope are just like everyone else in our community. You know, people have their own individual situations. And so it's hard to categorize an entire group of people. They're all individuals. And young people everywhere in our country have a harder time making money that will allow them to make ends meet, especially now. And since the pandemic, we've seen that issue, you know, rise. So we serve a lot of young people who just, you know, they're working, they're trying their best, and they're
homeless.
Not able to make ends meet.
Right.
Yep, they're experiencing homelessness.
Homelessness. Mm-hmm. And how young do you go?
We actually serve 0 to 17-year-olds in our licensed side of the shelter. And then we will go up to 30 years old in the other side of the shelter is what we'll prioritize. But there have been times when we've had a vacancy and no list, which isn't often, that we've served a grandparent and their child before.
I was going to ask about the 0 to 17. That not really zero, right? That'd be like an orphanage. You get babies that get dropped off, do you?
For our shelter care program, that is for unaccompanied youth experiencing homelessness. And it looks like youth ages 11 to 17, and then their children of any age. And so their children are separately our clients as well on that side of the building.
Did you always take care of that segment? I grew up thinking House of Hope was more for mothers with children or pregnant mothers. Have you expanded your focus?
We have in the last 3 years.
Okay.
Yep.
So I was in an office.
Been seeing a need. We've been seeing a need for youth. You know, we've received calls from the county and different social service agencies in the community that they had a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old or a 15-year-old and nowhere to go. And there hadn't been a gap. There had been a gap in services. So we became licensed at that point after hearing that of that issue.
So this couch surfing that we read about, this house this night, this friend's house, this for the, they can come to your place and really get some structure.
Absolutely. We also have a drop-in center, and that is open 24 hours a day, just like the shelter. And 14 to 21-year-olds can access the drop-in whenever they need to. We have snacks and laundry. And everything's free. We have access to case managers around the clock. Even on the holidays, we never close.
Might they drop in and not spend the night?
Yeah, they can drop in. We had youth there last night quite late. And so our team members are working to help find them a safe place to be and connect them with their natural resources or safe resources. And they can stay in the drop-in with us until they find that safe place to be or until we realize potentially a shelter need maybe.
Yeah. Wow. Can I ask how many 0 to 17 you have and then how many you have on the other side?
It changes day to day.
Right. I understand that.
On average, I think this year we served around 26 minors who were unaccompanied on the licensed side of our shelter.
Wow. That's too bad we have to have it, but it's nice to know we do have it because I think there were some problems with these kids that when they had no place to go, and not that they would get into trouble, but people could take advantage of them.
Yeah, within 48 hours, statistically, a youth could be exploited.
Right.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. We definitely do have a trafficking situation in our state, in our community, and it's not uncommon. It's everywhere, and often youth are abused first by a person in their life that's supposed to protect them before they become exploited. And often it's their own natural supports that are exploiting them. So it is a very dangerous situation for a youth to be on the street. And even in a runaway situation, it's more safe for them to stay with us at House of Hope than it would be for them to try to find, you know, an abandoned building to stay in or stay with a stranger in that situation, because at least we can guarantee that there is a professionally trained, safe adult who's had a thorough background check, who is there to care for them.
That's that is, wow. I'm glad we have that. And I like I said, didn't know. I just know that there was years ago, and I'm not talking that long ago, but 5-6 years ago, this whole couch surfing thing was a big, big deal. And, you know, new community, as much as they do, they're adults. I mean, that's what they're licensed for. And then the Freedom House has really been more of a family structure, right? It's mm-hmm. It tells who your clientele is and who you're serving.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, we are open to serving not just the single mom, but also the single dad. And they're typically coming in with anywhere from 1 to 6 children sometimes.
That must change things when a family of 6 shows up. So, whoa.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to open up 2 rooms to a large family. And then, you know, that also dictates how long it takes them to get out of shelter to those larger families, to find the type of housing that's going to accommodate them.
Do you, you mentioned case managers, Shannon was talking about that, and you have that as well?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And how, what's the goal there? To find a home mm-hmm. in Green Bay or?
Right. To get them connected to a stable, permanent housing situation. Obviously in the time that we have them, we try very hard to get their, you know, their income to a level where they're going to be able to be able to afford at some level. Obviously we're utilizing housing vouchers, getting them connected to that as a bridge to that self-sufficiency or other housing programs that are in our community.
That must be pretty rewarding when.
Super rewarding when you can see a positive exit and get them connected. We've got a family that's moving out in about 2 weeks. Going to another program, housing program in our community, a transitional program.
Right.
And so we know that they're going to continue to get that support that family needs to help them get further along in their ability to be self-sufficient.
All right. Just that is great what both of your organizations are doing, House of Hope and Freedom House, and the clientele you're serving, 2 different groups, but 2 groups that need to be served. It's mm-hmm. just, that's just the way the world is. Mm-hmm. That's something like, how could this happen? I don't know what does right here in Green Bay. I want to talk to you when we come back after the break. There's some concerns that some people have that the people in there aren't working hard enough. And we're going to talk about mm-hmm. the accountability that you have and how they really put a lot more effort in than some of the employees that are there. I want to get mm-hmm. back to that because your accountability on both your organizations is terrific. Mm-hmm. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're going to be right back after this short break. All right, welcome back. Simply the best. That's appropriate for what you 2 guys, or you 2 ladies, your 2 organizations are doing in this community. House of Hope, which takes care of or reaches out to some of the youth that, you know, not that long ago were just couch surfing. And boy, to see a homeless youth, I mean, that's unbelievable. But you have a place for them to come to. And as well as, you know, mothers with small children or pregnant women that come to your place as well. And I think that's great. And then with the, of course, the Freedom House Ministries takes in the family, the whole family. They all come and show up with all the kids in tow. And I and we won't say any names, but I know a family that showed up at your place and you changed their lives big time.
Thank
so
you.
I see her once in a while. Yes. People who come to your place, what do you hold them to anything? Are you alcohol free? Do you have hours? Like, you know, at New Community Shelter, we could be considered by some as having rules and being strict. We're not strict. I mean, life is like it is. You got to do a chore. Well, I'm going to go home after this show and I'm going to do a chore. And, you know, we don't smoke in the building and we don't smoke in my house. And I think they really teach them what life is like, and life is really good. There's a few things that maybe aren't perfect, but at the end of the day, it really works. And over at our place, they have people save 70% of their money. Now, for the record, I've never saved 70% of my money, but but they do. But again, you know, you're not paying rent and you're not paying for food. But anyway, and they that's the goal. And you know, I was saying that there's people at New Community that have $4,000 in their checking account. I mean, that's pretty cool that they'll be able to look forward first lesson learned. Mm-hmm. Your organizations are, the goal isn't to house them. The goal is to get them back into society.
They're still in society when they're with us.
That is
just
true.
For clarification.
Well, they are.
A lot of our folks are working. They're holding down two jobs.
Yep. I meant independent of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what, when someone goes into your place, how do they contribute or what kind of, organization do they have? What kind of rules mm-hmm. do you have?
So when a family joins us, you know, we give them about a week's time to get kind of acclimated to what does sheltered life look like. And then we also do assign them chores. There's weekly accountability for those tasks. There's accountabilities for learning, for engaging in classes, for paying attention to their finances. How much are you saving? Are you working? Do you need to find a job that is going to bring you more money than what you've been earning? You know, really doing that reality check of, okay, how did you get here and what do we need to do to get you out of here?
That's awesome. And over at House of Hope, tell me about just some of the things that you're doing there with the students or with the young adults.
Sure. I think we always take a very client-centered, person-centered approach at House of Hope and ground ourselves in the understanding that we are human people working with human people. And so we try to create a culture of trust and understanding that people make mistakes, and it's really healthy to say I'm wrong or I messed up or whatever that may be for the staff at House of Hope and for the people that are participating in programs and living at the shelter. And we're a very housing first focused shelter. So often a lot of the required rules and things that we have in place are either to keep people safe or to help prepare people for a positive landlord-tenant situation, because we really want people to get out of shelter as soon as possible and move into their own place, which is also what they want. You know, nobody wants to live in a shelter.
Right.
Often we joke that if we could put ourselves out of business, we'd be in good shape. If no one in Green Bay ever had to experience homelessness again, we would love that. But we know that it does happen. It's good that we have at least a safe emergency resource for people. So when people are in shelter, they do have a curfew unless they're working. If we have a person who's working overnight shift, obviously they can come back when they're done working. And we have rules about sobriety. We do expect that there aren't any drugs or alcohol brought into the building. And we do testing for that, but not to be punitive, to be helpful and supportive. So we'll refer. We have an in-house clinically licensed AODA counselor in the shelter. And then we also connect with many other partner resources like New Community Clinic, and they provide counseling as well. And so we're trying to get people to, back on the road to healing and success and recovery. And often, you know, what we find is that when people are using it, it could be because they don't have another resource or they don't have a healthy resource. And so they're kind of self-medicating in that way. So we try to be really understanding, have a do the least amount of harm approach. So it's not, okay, you're going to get kicked out because you had an experience.
Right.
You did something unhealthy to your own body, but it's more, how do we make healthy choices and how do we keep everybody else in the shelter safe as well?
Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, we've had a couple people on here from the Brown County Recovery or something. And then we've had somebody on, Larry, who is ADOA counselor as well. And it's amazing. I mean, and I don't know. It's like 70% of the people who are in shelter care have issues with alcohol or drugs. And it's tough. And it's tough in our area, too. I mean, you got to admit, it's not like there's a shortage of supply.
It's usually around the same number of people in shelter who are experiencing mental health issues, too, who maybe it's depression or anxiety and they're untreated. And so the shelters in our area do an amazing job at connecting people with those resources through New Community Clinic and other counseling services in the area. So sometimes when we see that high drug use, it's because they really need like treatment for things like anxiety that are really common.
Yeah. But Shannon, just to move off of this, your place is alcohol free.
We are.
Okay.
Yep. And so are we.
All right.
And we do drug testing and we have curfews. All of the same things that she said.
As do we.
We are.
This is anybody. She's giving you the peace sign. Actually, it means you have 2 minutes till we go to a break. So okay. You have plenty of time. Okay. I want to talk about a little bit more of the, do they have case managers? Do you have a alcohol and drug counselor on staff or do you send them or how does that work? Because if people, and maybe not so much with families, you know, I don't know, but that's an issue with single homeless people.
Yep. Our success coaches are sitting with the families and identifying what are the barriers that are keeping you from participating in the life that you want.
Right.
Right. So if part of that is an addiction that needs to be addressed, we have a small group AODA counselor who does small group facilitation once a week. We also have a counselor on site who comes once a week to meet with the individuals. And we can make those referrals out to those other supports that are in the community. And the best part about that is that when they leave us, they're not dependent on us. They've got a connection to a service that's going to take them through.
All right. As you know, we were talking with Jennifer Schmo, who's the executive director of Freedom House Ministries here in Green Bay. And then, of course, we were talking with Shannon.
Wienand.
Yes, Wienand. I'm great with first names. If you listen to the show, I'm great with first names. And you obviously run the House of Hope.
Ask him to say Frank Hermans.
Yeah, I can't even do that right. So we had hit, he was on. I struggled with that. First names is great. And you ladies, do you realize the difference you're making? I mean, do you go home at night and like? So I served in the public for 20 years, and before that, private sector, and. 4 hours at the Freedom House. At New Community, it makes me feel better than.
It's so, tough wear. A lot of heavy lifting.
But you feel good.
But we feel
right,
great.
We're going to get back, talk about your wish list and a few other things Green Bay needs to do. All right, we'll be right back. This is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local. All right, welcome back to Lean Loco with Jim Schmidt. We are talking with two ladies who are instrumental in the success of Green Bay and why we are the one of the top 20 cities to live in the United States. And that's the director of the House of Hope, Shannon, and then the Freedom House, Jennifer's here. And we've been talking about the people that they serve, and we have no advice for you because you are being successful. But what there's got to be some things that can happen. We're not hitting on all cylinders, right? And you had mentioned earlier about the goal is to end homelessness. Yeah, I used to think I think that would be a tough goal. And if you look at history too, my dad used to say this too. He said, if you give, you take all the money from people and then distribute it equally, it's going to be right back where it was in 5 years. But his point was that the world is, life happens, you know, and nobody knows that better than you two. But there's got to be more we can do. And before we get to that, what is the average family stay at Freedom House Ministries about?
We're seeing about 120 days right now.
Oh, that's, let's see, divided by three. That's not that long. Well, I don't know.
Depends who you are. I mean, do you want to live in a Hampton Suites room size for 4 months? Think about that. You check into a hotel and you're there for a night, right? Think about that for 4 months.
Yeah.
It's a lot with your kids. A lot.
I'm just saying, I think, but I'm not really talking about the structure as much as I was talking about. When someone shows up there, there's a lot of work that needs to be done internally and externally. Like you said, a better job, you got to be able to support a family. That's good. Ours is a little bit longer than that.
But sometimes it's not just about the tangibles, like, you know, the place to live. It's also about trying to help the person address what's going on for them, maybe mentally or relationships. I think if we did more relationship education when people are going through school and money education, we'd be in a different ballgame in our society.
I like that. I asked people that when some homeless people, I'm like, you know, what triggered this?
It's always relationships and money.
Right.
That's what two things. That's what it always comes down to. It's a relationship with your landlord, relationship with the person who was in your life, relationship with your family, something.
And you explain to them, or you work with them, or role play with them, whatever it is on how to get a positive relationship.
We work really hard to earn their trust and build a relationship with them and be a positive model for how to do tough conversations and how to enter in. And I always call it having an eyeball conversation.
Yeah.
We need to get eyeball to eyeball and talk about this. We're not going to just tell someone there's an infraction. It's like we got to sit down and talk about this.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And life is better that way. It's just a little bit difficult, but then the end game is awesome. Mm-hmm. So Shannon, how long do people stay at Freedom House? I mean, I'm sorry, at House of Hope.
About 65 days. And we've more than doubled our length of stay since the pandemic. But it's really a housing shortage in our area. There's only a 3.5% vacancy in the last report that I've read in housing in Green Bay. And it's healthy community should have at least 5%. And so what we're seeing is that people who may not have experienced homelessness in the past are because there aren't enough affordable units available in our area.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a secret, right? And would you say if somebody watches the news or, that you would know that there's not enough? And
I would hope you would know that.
Right.
And that's why you see people in shelter longer, because they can't find a unit, or maybe they don't have enough rental history, or they have an eviction on their record, or they don't have more income than the other person applying.
Or enough money.
I was going to say, that's why I say these people that at New Community, they really work, but they need that money. It's not like, and rent's gone up, right? I mean, you guys see that all the time.
Yeah. The fair market rent rates that HUD has assigned for the Green Bay metro area is far below what rent is actually costing in our area.
But there is some construction going on, is there not?
Yeah, definitely not enough. We're moving way too slow. I believe that anything we could do to encourage developers to build any type of housing, single family homes to multi-unit apartment buildings, would be great for our area.
Yeah, we have a lot of luxury stuff going up, and that would be my concern that we're outpacing ourselves. We're creating more luxury housing than we have people to support that, and then that just further marginalizes those that are not at that income level. It takes a lot of money to move into a place. A lot of times they want first and last month's rent. They want a security deposit. Right. They want the income to be two or three times what the rent is.
Right.
You start adding all that up, that is impossible on $15 an hour for a single mom with a daycare bill.
Never happen. I mean, it's just, but even if the rent is $1,500 a month, which for two bedroom, it can be that.
Yes,
and that's times three, or that's $4,500 you're going to need. So that's $60,000. That's $30 an hour.
And often young single parents can't find a daycare. It's 8 months to a year before you can get a daycare spot. So, and then that's pretty expensive now too.
But is there not some legislation moving on daycare?
I think that we need to add daycares, open daycares in our community for sure. Nothing's moving fast enough to help the average American family right now.
Mm-hmm. But there are some legislative things that you would like to see.
Oh, absolutely. there are definitely things that that we'd like to see to help youth. They're bipartisan bills. In general, most people would agree they're good for society. There's an anti-trafficking bill that actually has, we've tried in our state for about 5 years now, and we just haven't been able to get that passed. And it's Senate Bill 55. So in our state, youth cannot consent. There's a defense of infancy law in place, yet youth are being charged with things like prostitution, even though they can't consent. So that's a concern in our area. I think we're one of only three states that has that, that does not have a safe harbor law in place. I think Florida and Texas are the other ones that don't have it. So we would like to see everyone become more aware of that and protect our youth a little bit better.
Okay.
And
then the elections are coming up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, now's a good time to elevate some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And yeah, you can send me that. I'll bring that up again at a later show because sure. Elections, yeah, it's going to be a little bit, another couple months. I mean, people aren't totally into it yet, but they will be. No, I guess, yeah, especially with the governor moving up the date. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And then the other one is also a very just bipartisan topic that I think most people agree on, but specifically about unaccompanied youth experiencing homelessness. So these are, you know, youth who are being kicked out of their homes, their guardian, the person who's supposed to keep them safe. They're not taking care of them. So, you know, community agencies are caring for them at places like House of Hope. And it's about healthcare and mental health care. And when I say healthcare and mental health care, it's really just basic, like what youth have access to now. So like getting a broken bone set or getting an immunization, just your regular, you know, pain relieving type of services, dental care, things like that. So that's Senate Bill 704 or Assembly Bill 729. And it just gives unaccompanied youth who don't have any other guardian assigned to them or parent in a situation where maybe they're staying at a place like House of Hope. It gives us the ability to take them to the doctor and have their needs met.
And finding your legislators is easy, right? I mean, just go online and find out who they are. But I think even more importantly, your websites, you're contacting you. Because I think people may know people who would benefit from your services. I do think there's a lot of people in Green Bay who would like to donate and to your service, to your organizations, be it money or we're going to go through your wish list in just a second. And I think that's good. It's all, you know, knowledge is very powerful. But look, in everyone's defense, they're busy. They got soccer, they got this, they got that. And sometimes they say to people, wow, you didn't know that? But, you know, we live it. They're learning and they want to learn and they want to help. So we'll start with you, Shan. Give me your website and how we can contact you and whatever other information you want to share on contacting House of Hope.
Sure. We love having help. And our website is www.houseofhope.org. House of Hope.
Houseofhopegb.org.
Yep.
And on your wish list that I'm pretty small font, you want a lot of stuff. No, I'm just kidding. You need a lot of stuff. But it it really... Wow. At least you got it alphabetical. But yeah, from alarm clocks to zippers. No, it's not zippers. I'm just kidding. It was small trash cans.
Our biggest need right now are towels. We're running out of towels. Yeah. No, just bath towels. Yeah. Sheets, twin size sheets. Mm-hmm. We're running out of. And then laundry detergent is a big one.
Always running out of laundry detergent.
Okay. I was going to ask you what this was, A to T, because I don't see a Z, but... out of all the stuff, those are the three that you really, repeat that again, because you want towels.
Towels, twin sheets, and laundry detergent. And I think every shelter probably.
Oh, yes. Ditto.
Well, really? Okay, and your list is, oh, man. So I'm looking at your list, Jennifer, and you put it in order. You didn't really put yours alphabetical. Yours, your
categories.
Your category, your first one is laundry detergent.
Because that's what we need, darling.
Really?
Well, yes. Think about how much laundry you do personally, right? And then you got kiddos. And we pride ourselves on being able to provide these basic necessities for our residents while they're staying with us so that they can conserve their money for other things. And we do have a very generous community. It's been mind-blowing. We can put out a post on Facebook or out to volunteers and ask for something, and all of a sudden we get 6 boxes from Amazon of trash bags or, you know, 20 gallons of laundry detergent show up. It doesn't happen every day, and we go in fits and spits, I call it. You
right?
know, like feast of famine, right? One day you got more than you're rearranging the closet to store it all, and then the next time you're like, where did it all go? And it just goes. It's families are expensive.
Yes, they are. They are. I don't give you any examples. They're very, very expensive.
Yeah, I'd say the other thing is, you know, sometimes not on our wish list, but that we really need is volunteers.
Yes.
And we have facilities that need to be taken care of. So, mm-hmm. you know, anybody that's a, you know, maybe they're a retired electrician or something mm-hmm. like that, that's always really helpful. We have a guy named Ron who is like the most amazing volunteer on the planet who comes. Mm-hmm. And we just have a list of, you know, facility needs. And he's great. He just comes and he helps us with, you know, hanging pictures or, you know, fixing the thing that needs fixed that day. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we would do without our volunteers in this community.
That's, I love hearing that. And it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I experienced that. They just, people will step up. And what's nice about volunteering it, you have something for everyone. You know, Absolutely. Maybe somebody doesn't like to cook, mm-hmm. but they like to
clean windows,
change light bulbs, whatever, and that all needs to be done.
Or answer the phone. We have volunteers that answer our phones.
Right.
They sit at our front desk and greet people and man the doors. And
I need to get the Freedom House.
Sure, it's really obnoxiously long. You ready?
Freedom House Ministries,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's freedomhouseministries.org.
Okay, that's what I wrote down without mm-hmm, even asking mm-hmm. you. So, hey, you, she mentioned three items. You mentioned laundry detergent. What are your other two?
I really love the idea of getting some more volunteers in there. I mean, yeah, personal items, sheets, and then shampoo and conditioner. We go through quite a bit of that. I'd say those are our top three right now.
All right. Well, I'd like to think that Green Bay, we're trying, but mm-hmm. we can't take our foot off the gas. There's a lot of work to be done. And you saw these articles that we just had somebody in that homelessness is actually increasing. You think, gee, in this economy or...
especially seniors.
Right.
Seniors and young people.
It is.
Yeah.
So we've really got to take care of that. And you know, again, I'm so glad you are both living here, working here, and contributing here. And right. And I think, you know, people want to help. And if they can contact Freedom Ministries, House of Hope, there's so many things. And think of the good they're doing, taking families that are homeless and then taking youth and single mothers. It's just, you know, thanks for doing that. All right. You guys
Thank
have a good
you.
Memorial Day. And we will catch up with you again later. All
Thank
right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for coming in. See the man who almost died. Welcome back. This is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local, and I just want to thank our guests for coming on. I mean, House of Hope, which takes care of the youth that are just, they're homeless, right? These kids are going from couch surfing or, and they connect them. There's also just a drop-in place that they have where they can just hang out in a safe environment. And of course, then they take care of the women with small children, pregnant women, and I mean, what a great place. And, you know, they get things done there, and their stay, I think she said was like, 3 months, 60 days, 90 days. And, that's pretty cool that, and it's not so much the physical, environment that they're giving them. It's really more the counseling. And because not everybody kind of grew up in the same world we did. Right, Kyle? I mean, you had parents, right?
Yeah, I completely agree.
And so they've got this generational life. And I don't know, it's really not ignorance is bliss because you do see other people, but it's like, can I live like that? And the answer is yes, you can. But look, this is how you got to start budgeting. This is how you got to, you know, and they both talked about, they're both sober, you know, facilities as this new community. And I think that's really important. And I'm never going to drink again. I don't know. Don't say it that way. I'm not going to drink today. You know, I'm going to have a great day today. And then they can look, I'm not a drug counselor, alcohol counselor, but I mean, I've been in a few of those meetings, and But I just think that you know, Jennifer at Freedom House Ministries, and I just want to put in a plug for Freedom House Ministries. There's a big fundraiser coming up on September 20th at the Northland. The Northland is celebrating their 100th year anniversary. It's you think about, you know, 1924, you know, the Roaring Twenties, and you know, that was putting on the Ritz, and we're going to do that on 9/20, and the profits from that go to Freedom House Ministries. And so the reason I know that is I'm emceeing that event. So I sure hope to see everybody there. That is going to be great. And then of course, Shannon at House of Hope, they have a lot going on there, and, yeah, just dedicated staff that make that all work. And
what's the date for that again?
9/20 is the September 20th is the, Northland, I don't know what they're called. I guess Northland 100 year anniversary. It's not really done yet. I mean, I've had a couple of meetings. I'll talk about that more on the other show, but there's some good stuff going on. You know, and they both said that the community needs more affordable housing. And I think it's important that we understand what a community is. It's not just the city of Green Bay. I mean, Kyle, you were here, right, when we interviewed some of these other municipal leaders?
Yeah.
They didn't really bring that up.
Yeah, I remember hearing homelessness isn't a problem.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
That's sort of ridiculous to me, but I don't know. I like what they were saying about like educating the youth because it's like a generational thing, like you were saying. But yeah. I think that kind of comes a little bit full circle where it's like educate the children about financial responsibility and relationship building and stuff like that. But at the same time, the generational like crisis there is that they're not going to go to school to learn these things. So I think there needs to be maybe some sort of like a mandate in place. I think that might help. Like a little bit of, even if you don't get your GED or whatever it is, these are in our country
soft
required
skills
that,
is what
yeah,
you
like what you really need to be able to get by. You know what I mean?
It should be introduced into the curriculum, quite honestly.
When I was in high school, we had to take, you know, a finance class, and that was like required to graduate. But I believe that the other kids that didn't get like the full diploma, I don't think they needed it. I think it was just part of the. Now, don't quote me on that. I think that if you went and got your GED, I don't think you necessarily need like that class. It was kind of like extracurricular sort of thing.
And relationship, and that they both said that, mm-hmm. and especially Jennifer from the Freedom House, mm-hmm. is that how families break down. That's it's relationships, and I think that's.
Right.
But to learn that, you know, if you don't learn it at home, you're not going to learn it. Because you're right, it's not taught in schools,
sure.
And then the kid might be a loner at school or getting picked. It's like, look, there's a whole lot of reasons to that. I'm saying one of them could be is communication skills, relationship skills, looking people in the eye, you know. So, yeah, I think that's something that, but I do think the caseworkers and even volunteers can work with that a little bit, you know, and say, hey, look, you know, and, you know what's bugging you? Well, this person said this and that, and like, how did you handle it? And yeah, I may not have done it that way. You know, maybe you should have done this or that. So, yeah, we've got to work on that. And they need volunteers, right? I mean, it's no secret that they both said, what's it on the top of their list? And they both said volunteers. But, you know, they were pretty quick with the wish list, too. So I just think it's really important that we support them. You know, and what we'll do coming up on this show, because I know I get your emails and your texts, and I know you want to hear more from the front line. That's not always easy for someone who is a homeless youth or a family that's homeless to come on this show and talk about it. But that's going to happen, and they're going to tell you from their heart how good that organization was, and they're also going to tell you from their heart on their story. And we're going to have that. We're going to work on getting more of the end users in here. But the issues are there, right? We got issues with homelessness in Green Bay. We have issues with fentanyl in Green Bay. I'm going to lean into that a little bit more in a month. But with all that said, it's a great, great community. And again, I hope everyone enjoys their weekend. But, you know, Memorial Day, we wouldn't have any of this, you know, without the people who gave their lives for this country. I mean, think about it. I mean, people make jokes. We'd be speaking a different language and that's not funny. I mean, that is really true that we wouldn't have this country without the people that fought, and a lot of them lost their lives. And that's what we remember tomorrow is the people who lost their lives. And I encourage you all to have an enjoyable day, but you know, remember it's Memorial Day. So there's a lot you can do. I mean, there's cemeteries that you can stop at. There's events in cemeteries you can go to. There's parades that are really skewed toward the military as they should be. And do that. It's going to be, You're going to enjoy the day more. I guarantee it. You will enjoy Memorial Day more when you start cooking the brats and the burgers or take the boat out for the first time. That's all fun stuff to do. And it is kind of the unofficial kickoff of summer. I mean, I get Memorial Day. I love it. But I will tell you, in the morning, we as a family, I'm going to be in Nashville, but we as a family will do something that will remind everyone, and especially us, how important Memorial Day is. So, yeah, I just thanks for tuning in. And any suggestions you have, you can sure send them to Civic Media here. Kyle, thanks for being the intern, the unpaid intern. I'm working on that. Yeah, this is all good. So, Amanda, thank you for putting the show together, and enjoy your day off tomorrow. And we'll see everybody next Sunday at 1 o'clock. WGBW 97.9, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.